Hi everyone, today's Perikah of Rama is the 15th and final chapter of Hilchos Trumos. In this Perikah as well, the Rama will continue to discuss cases where Truma has become mixed with other items. Halacha Aleph. Chavas Stuma Midamas Bekoshim. A sealed barrel of wine, that is Truma, is able to make other items become Meduma, this mixture of Truma and mundane items, to the point where then they're forbidden to a non-Kohen, even with a tiny amount in this case. Ketza, there I'm going to illustrate what he means by that. Chavas stuma shel truma. Shes arva bekama alafim chavios stumos lin mahakol. If there was just a single barrel of wine that was truma, that was sealed, and had become mixed with thousands even other barrels that were sealed, then all of them have become meduma. Niftachu chavios talav echad ameha. If, however, the barrels become open, so then the truma is able to be nullified when there is 101 times its original amount. Hachabeis. Chavas stuma shes arva b'meah chavios v'nafla achas mehem liyama gadol hutru kulan omer shel truma hi shenafla. If there was a sealed barrel that had truma in it and had become mixed with 100 barrels, and then one of them falls into the Mediterranean Sea, so then they all become permitted. Why? Because we assume that it was the one that was truma that had fallen in it. Mash engim b'teina shenafla l'meah v'nafla achas mehem liyama gadol el tzarech hafash achas. This is in contradistinction to a scenario where, for example, a fig that was truma had fallen to 100 other figs, because in that case, it's necessary to take off one of the figs, as we've seen in earlier parakim. Lafisha chavis nefilasa nikeres, uteina ukiotuba enefilasa nikeres. Now, why is there this distinction? The Rambam explains it's because when a barrel falls into the sea, that's something which is very noticeable, it's recognizable. But when a fig or something like that falls, then it's not recognizable. Halacha gimel. Chavis stuma shes arva b'meah chavios. If there was a sealed barrel of wine which had truma in it, that had become mixed with 100 other barrels, and then one of them is opened, in that case, the one involved, should take out 1/100th of it, and then he's able to drink the rest of the barrel. However, all the other barrels are going to be forbidden still until they become opened. And then each and every time one of them is opened, the owner should take out the amount in proportion to how much of it had been meduma, and then drink from the remainder. This arva chavis b'meah v'chamishim chavios v'niftachu mehem meah notamem k'dei dimua chavis achas v'shos hameah u'shar chamishim asuros v'ein machazikim losa chavis shel truma shibiro. If it was a situation where there was a barrel that had truma in it that had become mixed with 150 barrels, and then 100 of those barrels had been opened, in that case, what's the procedure? One should take off, again, in accordance with the amount that would have made it be meduma. In other words, it would be one barrel, and then drink from the rest of the barrels. Now, what about the other 50, which haven't been opened yet? Those 50 are still going to be prohibited. And we don't assume that the barrel that had been truma was amongst the majority that had already been opened, the other 100. And even if there's a few thousand of these ones, it doesn't make a difference. They're all still going to be considered meduma. And then whenever any one of them is opened, so the owner should again take off 1/100th of it, and then he's able to drink the rest of that barrel. However, the other barrels remain meduma. Halacha Dalet. Kvar be'arim hilchos esuri machalos. Rambam has already explained earlier in Mishnah Torah that if something is serving as a leavening agent or it's a spice, then it is able to make a mixture that it falls into be forbidden no matter how small amount had fallen in. Accordingly, if a person had taken, let's say, an apple that was truma and had ground it up completely to make it puree, and then he placed it into his dough. Apparently that makes it leaven. In that case, where it's made the dough leaven, the entire dough is going to be meduma and is therefore forbidden to non-Kohanim. Halacha hei. Beita shenis bla betavlin shel truma afilu chelmon shela aser b'nei shehu b'leah. If one was dealing with an egg that had been flavored with spices which were truma, so that even the yolk is going to be forbidden because the egg ultimately absorbs. Halacha vav. Se'or shel truma shenafel l'tocha isa, v'gbio, v'achar kach nes chamitza, harizu muteres. If yeast which was Truma, had fallen into a dome, and then it was removed. One took out that Truma yeast, and afterwards that mixture became leavened. Nonetheless, the dough is going to be permitted, because the forbidden substance is no longer physically itself extant and present. Halacha Zayin. Kvar be'arnu, she'enis arev Truma min v'she'eno mino v'nosein tam. The Rambam has already explained that if Truma becomes mixed with a different substance, a different species of item, then in that case, the forbidden mixture is only going to be forbidden when there is a present taste of the Truma. Therefore, if one is dealing with an onion which was cooked along with some other food, and the onion had been cut into pieces, then in that case, thus, if the onion was truma, and it was this other food, this dish that was mundane, and one can taste the flavor of the onion, so then the rest of the food is going to be forbidden to non-kohanim. And in a similar fashion, if the onion is mundane, and the cooked dish is something which is truma, and the flavor of that cooked food had been given over to the onion as well, so the onion is also going to be forbidden to non-kohanim. Halachas. Adashim says bashlu. Aharkach hishluch l'tochan batzal yavish. Im hayashalim, harizah mutter. Im hayamachutach, rosin tam. If there were lentils that had been cooked, and a dry onion had been placed within, so then it depends. If the onion had been whole, it's going to be permitted. If it had been cut up, then it's going to depend on whether or not its flavor had been given over. The im bisha batzal im hadashim, bein shalim, bein mechutach, v'sharon osa v'nosin tam. And if he had cooked the onion along with the lentils, whether then the onion had been whole or had been cut up, then in that case we'll go based off of whether or not it has given off taste by our estimation. Ushar kol atavshil, bein shehechach batzal achash espashil, bein shebishlu im atavshil, bein shalim, bein mechutach, sharon osa v'nosin tam. With regard to the rest of the cooked item, so then it doesn't matter whether the onion had been put on it after it had been cooked, or had been cooked with it, or whether the onion was whole or had been cut up. Either way, we're going to make an estimation as to whether or not it has given off flavor. Now, the Rambam is going to go back to explain some of the rationale of what was just described. Why is it that we don't estimate in this fashion whether or not there had been imparted flavor when an onion was whole and had been put amongst these cooking lentils? The Rambam explains, the rationale is because since it's whole, it's not going to absorb, and since it had already been cooked, it's not going to impart taste. In a similar fashion, though, if it had been particularly soft brand of onion, or its tip had been taken off, or its outer shell had been taken off, or it was moist, particularly fresh, then in that case, it's as if it had been cut up. It's already susceptible to absorbing. With regards to a different type of onion, so then it doesn't make a difference whether it's moist or dry, whether it was still whole or had been cut up. Regardless, we will see whether or not they have given off their flavor. Hachatas. Hakovish yarek shel chulin im yarek shel truma. Hari zeh mutar lizar. Chot imini bitzalim v'chatzar rishuim. She'im kavash yarek shel chulin im bitzalim v'chatzar truma. O bitzalim chulin im bitzalim shel truma. Hari ilu asrum. If somebody had pickled vegetables, which were mundane, with other vegetables, which were truma, so then they're still going to be permitted to non-kohanim. However, there's a few exceptions. If we're dealing with onions or scallions or garlic, because regarding these, if one had pickled vegetables, which are mundane, with vegetables that are onions that are truma, or onions which are mundane with onions that are truma, in that case they're going to be forbidden. Kavash yarek shel truma im batzel shel chulin, haraya batzel mutar lazar. If somebody had pickled vegetables which were truma with an onion which was mundane, in that case the onion is still going to be permitted to non-kohanim. The point here being that onions and the like have the ability to impart strong taste, but don't necessarily absorb more than other things. Achiyot. Zeisei chulin shekvashan im zeisei truma. Im hayu p'tzuin elu v'elu, o shehaya chulin p'tzuin shel truma shleimim, o shekvashan b'mei truma, hayu elu asurin. If olives had been pickled together with other olives, some of them being mundane, some of them being truma. So then, if they had both been crushed, or the mundane ones were crushed, but the truma ones were still whole, or they had been pickled together in something which was truma, in that case, they'll be forbidden to non-kohanim. Aval im hayu shneim shleimim, o shehu zeisei truma p'tzuim, zeisei ha'chulim shleimim, ha'elu p'tarin l'pisha p'tzuim shuavos m'ner shleimim. If, on the other hand, they had both been still whole, or the olives which were truma had been crushed, and the mundane ones were still whole, in that case, they'll be permitted, because those which had been crushed will absorb from those which are whole. Halacha yud aleph. Make kibashim umei shalach lushal truma, harihain asur lazar. With regards to the water in which truma had been pickled or cooked, that is going to be forbidden to non-kohanim. Halacha yud beis. Hasheves ad shelo natam bekdera yesh ba mishom truma. With regards to truma, this particular item called the sheves, so then it is going to not have truma rules applied to it as long as it has not yet been used to flavor a dish. However, once it already has, then the rules of truma are not going to apply. Now, what is this sheves item? It's something which is used for flavoring, and therefore, generally, once it's been flavored with, then it's thrown out. So if it's already flavored other things, then it's going to be significant, and truma will apply. But if not, if it hadn't already been used for that, then it's not considered significant. Halacha yud gimel. Haroda pas chama l'nsana al pi chabes shel yein truma. Im ha'yisa pas chidim harizu muteres. Im shel sa'orim asurim b'nei shesho avos. If somebody had taken off hot bread and placed it onto a barrel of wine which was truma, then it depends what the substance of the bread was. If it was made from wheat grain, so then it's still going to be permitted. However, if it was made from barley grain, it's going to be forbidden. What's the rationale for this distinction? The barley grain is assumed to have drawn forth the wine into itself, and therefore has made it count as truma and is forbidden to non-kohanim. Halach yadav. Tanar shesiku b'kamon shel truma, v'afa bo as hapas, hapas muteres she'in batam kamon, el recha, v'areya ino asar. If an oven has been heated up with cumin, which is truma, so then the bread is going to still be permitted. Because it's not that it actually has the taste of cumin, it only has the smell of cumin. And that smell is not enough to make something be forbidden. Halacha tes vav. Se'or mishal truma shenachal lebor shamayim. Acha pishav ishu meimav, harei hein mutarin, she'ein nosing talmav gam oser. If barley, which was truma, had fallen into a cistern of water, so the water is still going to be permitted to drink, even though the barley has ruined the taste of the water, and thus has impacted it with its taste, because there's a rule that when food gives off a bad taste, then it's not able to make something become forbidden. Halacha tezayin. Tilson shel truma, hu ve'etzo shenachal letof bor shel yayin, em yesh b'zera tilson k'dei litin levado tam b'yayin, ha'yayin asur lazar. If tilson, a particular type of herb, that was truma, and it, as well as the plant that it grows on, had fallen into a cistern of wine, then if the actual tilson itself had enough capacity to impart taste into the wine, so the wine will be forbidden to non-kohanim. However, if it was only having that taste impact because of the plant that had fallen with it, which doesn't have the status of truma, so then that will not be a problem. Halacha yud zayin. Shnei kosos shel yayin, echad truma v'echad chulin, mazag kol echad b'mayim, v'achagach erevan. If there are two cups of wine, one of which was truma, one of which was mundane, and then they were each mixed, as was the custom of mixing their wine in those days, and then was combined, so then in that case, roan as a yayin ha'chulin, ki'ilu eno, u'ki'ilu yin truma, shes ari b'mayim, shari eno mina. In that case, we will consider it as if the mundane wine wasn't present, as if the wine which was truma had been mixed with the water all on its own, because water is considered a different entity, it's a different species. And then imrai osu amay levatel tam yein hatruma hari hakol mudr lazar. If there was a sufficient amount of water to nullify the taste of the wine which was truma, in that case everything is going to be permitted to non-kohanim. Im lav aser, however, if there is not a sufficient amount of water, then the whole thing is still going to be forbidden. Shekvar v'yanu she'ina mayim malas yain. Because the Rambam has already explained that water does not have the ability to nullify wine. So it's really about just making the taste be nullified, but not in terms of, as a majority, nullifying the wine. Halacha yud ches. Yayin shel truma shenafa al gabi peros yidichem ve'mutaros. if wine, which was truma, had fallen onto some fruit, some produce, so then he's allowed to wash off the fruits, and then with that alone, they're going to be permitted. In a similar fashion, if oil of truma had fallen onto produce, yadichem heimutars, just wash them off, and then they'll be permitted. Nafal Hashem al gabi yayin, yakvo so yayin mutar lizar. If oil had fallen on top of wine, in that case, a person should make it become hardened, solidify, it should congeal, and then afterwards, the wine is going to be rendered to non-kohen. Nafal al gabi atzir, yakvo so ito klipo me'al atzir, kdeish yasir kol atzir shibotam Hashem. If the oil, which had been truma, had been mixed with brine, then in that case, again, it should be made to congeal, and then the upper layer of the brine should also be removed along with the oil, so that way any of the brine which had the taste of the oil will be taken out. Halachiyot tes. G'deir shebishol v'ad truma. Lo yivash v'bachul. Himbishol nozein tam. V'im shatav ha'g'deir b'mayim v'b'yayin harizem mutru l'vash v'bah. If somebody had a pot which truma had been cooked in, it should not be used now to cook mundane produce. We're concerned about the imparting of taste. If, however, it had already been cooked in it, so then it's going to make it become forbidden. If, and only if, you can actually taste some of that flavor of the truma. If the person had washed out the pot with wine or with water, then it's going to be permitted, though, for one to cook in it, even ideally. Bishul b'miktas ha'kli, ein sarach lishtov es kulo, el shotiv makom ha'bishul bilvad. If a person had cooked truma in part of the pot, so then when cleaning it, one doesn't need to wash out the entire pot, but it's already enough, it's sufficient for a person to just clean off the plate where it had been cooked. Lachachaf. Truma gdola utrumas meiser v'chala v'mikurim kula nigru truma. All of these substances, truma gdola, trumas meiser, chala, and the bikurim, the first fruits, are all called truma. B'trumas meiser, ne'amar, v'harimosa v'menu trumas Hashem, v'omer k'trumas gorim. V'chala ne'amar, chala trima truma. Rambam now adduces scriptural support for all of these ideas. Trumas Meitzer, the Pasuk says, you should take off the Truma of Hashem from it. And the Pasuk also says, it should be like the Truma of your brain heat. Okay, so Truma Gedola is obvious why it's called Truma. Trumas Meitzer, the Rambam has just explained. As for challah, the Pasuk says, you should take off challah as truma. And the Pasuk says, you can't eat it in your gates. And it mentions the various things we'll take off from our grain, our wine, our oil, and the truma of our hand. And therefore, we see it's referred to as truma as well. Now, there's nothing else which is something which needs to be brought to Yerushalayim in order to be eaten, which isn't explicitly mentioned in that very same pasuk, other than bikurim. And therefore, we can understand that when the pasuk said the truma thing you're elevating in your hand, that can refer to the bikurim. And thus, they too are referred to as truma. Halacha chaf aleph. Lefikach, din arbasam lenin achila, v'dimua echadhu, kulan olin v'echadhu mea, v'tafim zeh v'zeh, v'nidmu yisarfu. Rambam now says, why does it matter that all four of these items are referred to as truma? It's because they are all going to be considered the same with regards to consumption and with regards to them being mixed with other substances, and all of them are able to be nullified when there is 101 times the original amount, and they can all join together to cause problems, and if they become impure, then they need to be burned. V'din trumas meiser shel demai, b'chol ilu adrachim k'trumas meiser shel badai, el she'ein lo ken al achilasa. Now, with regards to the status of trumas meiser that had come from the produce of an am haaretz, where we're not certain that proper tithes had been taken off, demai, and all these fashions is going to have the exact same status as Trumas Meiser that had certainly been Trumas Meiser. The only distinction is that if one consumes the Trumas Meiser of Tamai, one is not liable for lashes in that consumption. Halacha Chaf Beis, final halacha on the parak, and in fact, the final halacha in all of Hilchos Trumos, Kol Ochel Truma, Mevarach Birkatz Oso Machol, V'achagach Mevarach Asher Kedshanu, V'kdush Aso Shel Aron, V'tivano Lechol Truma. Whenever one consumes truma, one first makes the blessing on that particular food item, and then afterwards an additional blessing, having been sanctified with the sanctity of Aaron and having been commanded to consume truma. Bechach kibalnu, Rambam says this is what he had passed down through his tradition. For inu, and he's also seen with his own eyes, osim mevarchim afilu bechalas chutz laretz. He's seen people make this blessing even on challah from outside the land of Israel. Shigam achilas kachei gavul kavoda shneamar avodas matana etein es. Because even the consumption of sanctified foods that are not specifically in the Beis HaMikdash are like doing the unique service of Hashem. As the Pasuk states that Hashem says he's given to the Kohanim this special service of being a Kohanim as a gift. Have a wonderful day.